Baruch Abba, welcome everyone, Bez Hashem. We're learning Mishpatim Simin, Reish Mem, Dalet Sif Hei, in the Ramah, Shin 580 on page Vav. Once again, Simin Reish Mem, Dalet Sif Hei, in the Ramah. And we are discussing here, the Mechaber told us, a scenario where you hire a non-Jew to work for you for a year or for 2 years, and there is a specific melacha that you ask him to do for you. It doesn't have to be only this. This is just an example. An example the Mechaber gives is where you hire him to write for you like a scribe, you know, the nobleman and this and that, or to ma'arig, or to weave a garment for you. So the Mechaber says, Hare ze koisev oireg b'shabbos, you're allowed to do this. He's allowed to write and to weave on Shabbos. Why? Because you hired him as a kablon, as a contractor type of concept of business transaction, and he can really do this whenever he wants. You never told him to work on Shabbos. For him, if he wants to work on Shabbos, then that's his issue. His whole decision, that's only because of him. You never asked him to. Fine. Then we said a different opinion, which was derived. Yesh Mishoi, sir. That there are those that forbid the non-Jew to do this for you on Shabbos, because at the end of the day, he is gaining, because now he did the work on Shabbos, he doesn't have to do it a different day. That was the Ravid. In the Mechaber, in the first case still, there were two points that we had to mention where you have to make sure, in order for this to work, number one, that you're not on top of him. You're not makbid. If he comes to work one day, if he doesn't come to work another day, he's not punching a card. As the Mechaber says, V'hu shelo yachshav imo yoim yoim. You have to make sure you're not checking on him every single day, because if you are, then what happens? What happens is that it's not so much like a kiboilis, like a kablon. It's more of like a schir yoim. Oh, did you come to work today? I didn't see you today. What time did you get in to work today? So you had to make sure not to do that. Second of all, the malacha cannot be done in the Beis Yisrael, in your house, the Yid's house. Okay. Now we turn to the Rama. Second line on the page where the Rama says, V'davka shesachroi l'malacham yuchedes. When you hire him, you have to make sure you hire the non-Jew to do a specific malacha. It can't be a situation where you hire him to do anything and everything. Like we had in the Mechaber, you hire him to weave a garment for you or to write things for you in a book. However, if you hire him to be your butler from A to Z and everything in between for the certain time period, l'kuli alma is asa. Everyone will agree it's going to be awesome. As this will be elaborated on at the end of Simin Reish Mem Zayin. And let's take a look over here at the Mishra and the Sif Katun Choftes. That when the Ramah told us, you have to hire the non-Jew to do a specific work for you. You can't just have him to do anything and everything under the sun. Because if you hire him to do specific work for you for a year or two, it could be the fact that he is doing this weaving on Shabbos, that doesn't mean you specifically need that weaving to be done on Shabbos. You don't need that to be done. The fact that he wants to write in the book doesn't mean you need it to be done. But if you hire him to do anything and everything, says the Mishnah Brura, Karuv hadavar levadai sheitztarich lamacha malacha acheres. So now, it's most probably what's going to happen is that you're going to be benefiting from that specific work that he's doing for you, that you do need it, and now he's going to do something else for you on the next day on Sunday. And that basically means that he's working for you on Shabbos. That's what the problem is. You, the Yid, are benefiting for the work that he did for you on Shabbos now. That's the problem. That's why you have to hire him for a specific work. And the understanding is, whatever he does for you, even if he does on Shabbos, you don't necessarily need it to get done on Shabbos. That's understanding. And therefore, even if you don't have a business set up like a schir yoim for every single day, if you hire him to do anything and everything, it's going to be awesome. Sif katan lamid. The Rama told us, avol be kishe sachre l'chol ha-malachis. If you hire him for all the malachis, it's tarech teich zman eschirus. L'kul yam is awesome. Everyone will agree it's awesome. Mitam ze yesh limchis b'yad ha-shvachis kishe oisim malachas adonayim b'shabes. For this reason, says the Mishnah Rura in the first wide line, that we have to tell the shvachis, the maidservants, when they're doing malacha for their boss, not to do so. And even if they're not doing it in the house of the yid, and they weren't instructed to. Why? Because now they're hired to do all the work. So like we said, if a person's hired to do everything, that's a problem. Because now the yid is benefiting from Shabbos. Even more so it's a problem if the shvachos, if the maidservants, are doing the work in your house on Shabbos. This is also even if you hired them to do, you made an agreement with them for them to do a specific job. Now, let's clarify what's going on over here. You say, you might ask me a question, one second. A non-Jew can't do work on Shabbos? Of course, they always do work on Shabbos, right? And the answer is no, they can't. If you have someone who's clearing your table, are you allowed to clear your table on Shabbos? Of course you are. There's no malach in that. But the general understanding is, anything that I cannot do on Shabbos, the non-Jew cannot do on Shabbos for me as well.
About washing the
dishes. Okay, one second. We'll get to that. One second. Okay. So here what we're discussing over here is that they're doing something that you cannot do. If you can't do it on Shabbos, that's what the Shabbos is saying over here. They're hired to do everything, and that would be a problem. Even more so when they're doing it in your house. This is going to be also even when you hire them for a specific thing. We're going to get back to the question about washing dishes when we finish in the next five lines, the Mishnah Berurah. V'ayim b'taz, take a look at the Taz, Sifkot and Aleph. The maybe b'shem Rabbeinu Simcha, the Taz brings us in the name of one of the Rishonim Rabbeinu Simcha. The hu oise la shivcha, afilu la'asayis melechas atzma b'beis ba'alel. You ready for this now? The Taz brings from Rabbeinu Simcha that the shivcha, the non-Jewish lady, is not allowed to do malacha for herself in your house. She's not allowed to do malacha for herself in your house. What's the reason? Because of Marisayim, that the onlookers shouldn't think that she's doing this for you. Well, Yerabba, hey, b'shem sefer trumah, the malachas atzma mutar. The El Yerabba brings from a different reason, the sefer trumah, that for her to do her own work on Shabbos in your house is permissible. The daita shegam Rabbeinu Simcha moedu l'zeh, and the sefer trumah, and the El Yerabba wants to say that even the Rabbeinu Simcha will agree that the non-Jew can do work for herself in your house. Okay. Prima Godem Yishev Divrei Taz. Prima Godem answers up on the Taz. Take a look over there. I'm b'sever chayadim klal samach dalad de l'sakin ha-shivcha b'gadel lo kol yamu mutar b'yis ba'al ha-bayis shu nikr shemalechas atzma hi oisa. For a non-Jew to take care of, fix her clothing, let's say she has to sew something up or fix her clothing, that would be a malacha. For her to do that for her own clothing is totally fine, because it's very clear what she's doing is for herself and not for you. Okay. So we had a question. The question was, what about washing dishes? Is she allowed to wash the dishes? So what's the question? Well, are you allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos? Of course you are. So what's your question?
You're allowed to wash it if you need the dishes for that day.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about washing the dishes Friday night for Shabbos day. So in the dish note, they actually bring like this. Mitam Zed, this is number 24 for those who have this edition. So here, the actual case is that the non-Jew's job is to wash the dishes after Shabbos. Okay? We'll discuss that first. And the non-Jew wants to wash them now on Shabbos. And to also warm up hot water. Which means, in our generation, means to turn on the faucet. Okay. Says Shlomo Zalman Orbach. This is brought down in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Perik Lamed Aleph or Lamed Aleph. That it depends. Sheim Kavonosoi Bechimu Hamayim Kedesh Lo Yeloi Kar Biyodov. If the reason why she is warming up the water or turning on the hot faucet, the hot water, is so that when she washes the dishes, so that she doesn't have to have her cold hands in cold water. Then it's permissible. Now, we can't turn on the hot water on Shabbos because we're boiling the water. She can turn on the hot water on Shabbos because she's doing it for herself. What did we just finish saying? That if she's doing it for herself, we have the Sefer HaTrumah, your Rabbi brought from the Sefer HaTrumah, that it's permissible. And even Rabbeinu Simcha, the Eliyahu wants to say, would also permit this. Can you use the dishes that she just washed?
The hot water for coffee.
That's a different story. That's a different story.
She turns it on.
Yeah, that's a different story. Yeah, that's a different story. Right. So, he says here, Harezim Mutter. However, if she turned on the hot water, listen to this now. Says Shlomo Zalman, Im oizes zois kidei she yered hashuman bekalus mi akelim, Harezim also. She's turning on the hot water so that the grease from the plates will go off easier. That's awesome now. Why? She nimsa haYisrael nenim emalachos hanachri b'Shabbos. Because now you are benefiting from her work on Shabbos. B'kach shekelev nekiyam yoseh. Because your dishes are cleaner. This is what Shlomo Zalman's understanding, that if she is turning on the water, let's start from the beginning, so that she doesn't have to wash with cold water, that's not a problem. But if she's turning on the water so that the dishes will be cleaner, because if you have hot water, then you're obviously using soap anyway, it's clean. Don't get me wrong. So then it's viewed like she's doing it for you. Now she's doing a malacha on Shabbos for you. That's the chilek he makes. Now, next case. In number 25, he brings like this. A shifcha who is lighting, in those days, they didn't have the light switch, so she's lighting a candle, so she could wash the dishes on Shabbos. So later on, Sim Reisha Invov, Sifkon Chav Zayin, when they see Shekeven She'en Guf HaYisrael Nenna Mehadlokas HaNer, Elo Mikach Shekelev Mudochim. So she lit the candle for what purpose?
So she could see,
so she wants to wash the dishes. Or, let's say the light over the sink is off, so she turns on the light over the sink. Okay? You are permitted to derive benefit from this candle now. Because why did she light this candle for herself? She has to wash the dishes. He's allowed to use the candle for himself as well. Let's talk our generation. Let's say the light is off in the bathroom. It's Shabbos. And you have the lady is there, non-Jewish lady is there, and she needs to go to the bathroom. So she's allowed to go in, turn on the light, and leave it on. She doesn't have to turn it off so that you don't derive benefit. She turned it on. Many times people don't turn off lights anyway. That's a different problem. But over here, you are permitted to derive benefit because she turned it off for herself. Okay. You're saying if it's off?
Yeah.
Well, if she's doing it for you?
No, if it's part of her job.
If she's doing it for you, it's a problem. In other words, let's say she sees you, that you are reading by a small little lamp on Shabbos because you forgot to turn on the light in your study. And then she's passing by and she says, oh, wow, how are you reading such small letters like that in such a small little light? And she turns on the light for you. So now she's turned the light for you. That's a problem. Can't do that. But if she comes into the room and she says she wants to sit down to read something, and she says it's very dark in there, she turns the light for herself. So now she turned the light for herself. She's allowed to, you are allowed to derive benefit from that light because she did it for herself. That's not a problem. Okay. Let's go further. New case. We're going to go to the end of the page over here where the Mechaber is telling us as follows. You, the Yid, you bought the rights to collect the tax, the meches. Okay? You bought the rights to collect the tax. In order to collect the taxes, a person has to go also on Shabbos. You can't go on Shabbos. You, not only can you not go on Shabbos, what else are you have to do when you collect the tax? You have to make a cheshbon, you have to write down. Right? So it's a deraisa. However, you can hire the non-Jew to go collect the taxes, not only on Shabbos. This is his job. He can also go on Shabbos, and he will get a percentage from what he collects. This is permissible. And you see, with these halachas, we get into a lot of the practical shailas that come up when people have businesses and they have non-Jewish workers, let's say on a yontif, when the company has to be open in order to provide the services, and you have a non-Jewish partner, you have to make sure how you're going to set things up right. Okay? Fine. Let's read the words inside. Yehudi akoyne meches, a yid who acquires the rights for the tax, or maskiloyeni Yehudi lekabel meches b'Shabbos, you hire a non-Jew to collect the taxes on Shabbos, is mutter, it's allowed. Imu b'kiboydes, just as long as you don't hire him just for Shabbos. You hire him for the whole week, for the whole month. The Hainu Shoim Eloi, you tell him the Shetigve Mea Dinarim, Etein Lecha Kach Lekach. When you collect 100 dinarim, when you collect $100, I'll give you a certain percentage. Says the Mishtur Sifkot Lamed Aleph. He says the text of the language is not so clear. Haloshin Einu Meduyok Ki Hakavanu Hu Shesoiches Ein Yehudi. The bottom line is what Negei tells us, the way I explained it, that you're not acquiring the meches, you're acquiring the rights to, you have the non-Jews go collect the tax. Okay. Imu mikiboy, let's do shari medina, sifkot lamed beis, if you hired him as a kablan, it's permissible. Kimay bo iris la'abdon bereish simen reish tam beis. What's the case in the iris la'abdon? You have hides, you want to get them, you want to make them into your skin, right, the animal skin, leather. Before Shabbos, you go to Mr. Tanner and you give him the hides, the animal hides, and he starts the process before Shabbos. But it continues on Shabbos. Is this permissible? Says the Mishtur, the Mechaber from over there, the mutter litin loy koidim shkia zechama imu mekabelis. You're allowed to give it to him before Shabbos if you do it with kibayis. Mishum, that did not shikav, because he's doing this on his own accord. Even though you can't ask him specifically to do the malach on Shabbos, void the milsa b'faresia. Furthermore, it's something which is public knowledge that he's working for you. Everybody knows those hides are yours. And it'd be similar for, like the case of a yid working for you in your house. The Osir Sham, in that case, when we say it's awesome, this is permissible because of Pseida. Why? And the Odom Bol Amamainai. There's a concept like this. A person is Bahul Amamainai. What does it mean, Bahul Amamainai? When it comes to his financial laws, he gets confused, and he could come to a situation of even be Mechal Shabbos. Chas v'Shalom. How could that be? If we don't permit, now there's nothing halachically wrong over here taking place. It's not the ideal situation. But if we don't permit the yid to hire the non-Jew, b'kibayles, then the concern is that you yourself, the yid, might go and collect the taxes. And what happens when you collect the taxes? You have to take out your pinkus, you have to take out your ledger, and write down. Writing on Shabbos is nisa deraisa. So because the person is bol amamaynoi, is so concerned that he might lose out, and that this is very important, because I'm going to see you soon, it doesn't work the same way. It's specifically he's going to lose out, not that he might make a profit. Where he might lose out, there's a leniency. He might write it down like the merchants. So that's the leniency, because he might have to come to write. But if it's a situation by a type of meches where you don't have to write down, for example, those shaloichin mine meichel b'meches, they take a type of meichel, food, as the tax. Also, this, you can't hire him to collect the tax when the tax of payment is food. So why not? Even if the non-Jew is going to go collect it. Because he doesn't have to write it down. So the only heter here is that if we don't permit him to do this, he might come to write on Shabbos. So if he might come to write on Shabbos, he's going to violate an Issa Daraisa. So to violate an Issa Daraisa on Shabbos will permit him to hire the non-Jew in a permissible way. But if there's no concern of a Chilul Shabbos, then he's not allowed to go hire the non-Jew to collect the meches when it's a meches, a tax of food. However, the Taz Magen Avraham, they want to suggest over here, they want to say that even in this case where what you're collecting is food, to avoid the financial loss of the food, it's still permissible. The Sharetzion later on, in Simon Reish Mem Hei, explains that this financial loss has to be substantial, has to be a real financial, not just like a little small little amount, in order to permit this. He himself is forbidden to collect this tax, even if it's only food. Even if it was not brought from outside of the tchum, and there's no concern of catching, trapping something, or detaching something from that which is attached to the ground, and the reason why it's forbidden is because you can't be involved with your financial businesses on Shabbos. You can't be involved with that on Shabbos. As we'll discuss more, Mitzvah Shem and Sin Vav. Now, next case. We are 5 lines from the bottom. Yehudi Shesachar Bishul HaMelach Min Asar. So once again, similar scenario. You purchase the rights to Shesachar Bishul HaMelach of the salt. Okay, from the nobleman. Mutala haskalai pailam bikibailus, you're allowed to hire workers bikibailus. Shim yasu loy kach vekach melach itin loy kach vekach. That if they produce X amount of salt, you'll pay them X amount of money. Va'afa pisha kalim va'eitzim heim shel yisrael. Even though the materials are yours, shari, it's permissible. Just as long as they're not bringing the wood from your house on Shabbos, because any time of kibbutz that we permit it, it has to be that they're taking the material from you, which is your material from before Shabbos. They can't go to your garage, you can't go to get your tools on Shabbos, even though you set up a kibbutz. You can't hire him for the Shabbos or for the Chodesh, because now it's like a schir yoyim. Now it's like you hired him specifically for Shabbos, which of course is awesome. Let's just see here, Sifkot Lamed Gimel, where we finish over here, that you hired this non-Jewish person to be the tax collector, and he will collect 100 dinarim, and you'll give him a certain percentage. You're not telling him to go work on Shabbos. Listen to the very clear case here. You're telling him to collect 100 dinarim. Now, in order for him to do that, he'll do that when he wants to. Elu b'stama. Im tig v'kach v'kach, if you go collect X amount, etein l'chasach kach v'kach, I'll pay you a certain amount. Im kein, lo'yehavi s'chir yoy, that's not called the s'chir yoy. Again, less kan, s'chav Shabbos klal, there's no payment on Shabbos, there's no work on Shabbos. Shegevar, s'chav me'asah me'eches, shel kol ha'shona, im ha'shabbos is b'chlal. Because you purchased the rights from this nobleman of the salt mine for the whole entire year. So it's not, you're not just getting money from Shabbos. You're not doing that. Fine. Before we finish, I just want to share with you a very important insight, which we said in passing, from the Shevet HaLevi. Excuse me. The Shevet HaLevi, in Chela Gimel, Simon Chaf Gimel, he tells us this whole heter of Adam Bahul Amamayin, a person's confused when it comes to financial laws, and if, just like you find also, if Chas Shalom, there's a person that has a fire, we permit to get 2 meals worth of food. Also, the concept of if we don't permit that, he might come to put out the fire. Fine. Okay. Now, says the Shevet HaLevi, if a person would have a possibility to make a tremendous profit, if he has the non-Jew do the work and this and that, is he allowed to do so? Do we apply the principle Adam Bahul Amamoinai, that if a person is not permitted to have in a heterodic way with kibaylis, not that the Jew, non-Jew is working specifically for you in Shabbos, just like we had over here in the case just now where it's permissible, are you allowed to hire the non-Jew to work in a way that you will make the profit on Shabbos? Says the Shevet HaLevi, absolutely not. The principle of Odom Bolam Amoinai is that a person will lose out financially. Not that he's going to lose out on the profit that he might gain. Not that he could have made $50,000. So we don't say, oh, all of a sudden we have looking for a tatum to how he could do this. And he says further, Shabaduk Menusa, it's tried and tested. Shemisha Mechapeis Hetayrim Binageil Shabbos Kodesh. A person who looks for a teirim that's applicable to Shabbos Kodesh, lebasayif mafsid. At the end, this person loses out. And the last point over here, in number 27 of the issue note, where we said that you have to make sure that even though you set up the agreement with a non-Jew b'kibaylis, which means it's a contractor, that you don't hire him just for the day, he has to take out all the material from before Shabbos, from your property. Because people shouldn't be suspect of you that you instruct him to take it out specifically on Shabbos. On that note, we will stop here, and we'll pick up next time in the Ramah in Sif Vav.